This is the Mind Body Work podcast dedicated to discussions about the well-being and health of working professionals. My first guest speaker today is Kelly Nicol, who is a Chartered Fellow Institute of the Institution of Occupational Safety and Health. Kelly has over 15 years of experience in safety, health and environment, mental health and well-being, and impactful training. She served a wide range of organisations and industry sectors, working nationally and internationally throughout her career. Her key driver is the belief that everyone should get to go home at the end of every day of work, no matter where they are in the world. Hi, Kelly. How are you today?
I'm really good, thanks. The sun is shining. I can't really complain too much. How are you?
Oh, wonderful news. Likewise over here, it is a lovely day, so feeling really good and so excited to get some of your insights today. So thank you so much for being here. So today's podcast is all about prioritising employee health. And with World Health Day around the corner, it's the perfect time for Kelly to talk us through a vital aspect of our well-being, which is our mental health. So diving right into the heart of our conversation today, Kelly, your journey over 15 years in the fields of safety, health and the environment offers a rich perspective on workplace dynamics. And as many of us have seen, the narrative around mental health has undergone a significant transformation, especially in the last few years. So Kelly, I'm wondering if you could share how you've seen the conversation evolve and what impact this evolution has had on the way organisations approach employee wellbeing.
That's a great question. So in the last 15 years or so, the conversation around mental health in the workplace has really changed. I've really noticed it within the last kind of decade or so, with mental health becoming much more of a focus for health and safety professionals and HR professionals, as well as that kind of wider psychosocial risk management becoming more included in the way that we do health and safety. You'll see a lot of organisations are now approaching wellbeing as kind of part of their business as usual, rather than something they do on an ad hoc basis or just those special key dates across the year. I'm seeing an increase in mental health first aiders, an increase in resilience and kind of mental health awareness training. And generally, I think one of the biggest impacts I've seen is that businesses and organisations are really starting to consider that psychosocial risk management as part of their usual organisation wider risk management as well.
Yeah, interesting. It's really fascinating to see how the dialogue around mental health has not just evolved but become really quite central to organisational wellbeing strategies, as you've mentioned. And that's interesting, that last comment you've made at the end there. This shift towards a more holistic view of health in the workplace is a really wonderful milestone to have reached. So just moving to a more personal dimension of your work in particular, your key driver is the belief that everyone should safely return home at the end of the workday. So can you share a pivotal moment or experience in your career that has solidified this belief, particularly regarding mental health and wellbeing?
Yeah, so there's probably two for me. And I'm not sure whether you do trigger warnings, but one is a really sad suicide that I experienced at work, which was really, really awful and really, really difficult. And we were, the business I was working in at the time, we were actually really good. We had loads and loads of mental health first aiders. We had a really supportive kind of well-being and mental health team. And we very sadly lost a member of the team to suicide. And that was a real shock, that we can think we're doing everything right and we can still miss out on reaching out to somebody. But the real pivotal moment for me was when I joined a business about 6 months after a fatality. And what I saw walking in was the residual impact for that team that had witnessed Robin's fatal accident, the team that had dealt with the investigation, and the wider team that were dealing with the impact of it, that the mental health impact was huge for them. So that kind of triggered me into becoming a mental health first aider, just purely to give myself the confidence and the additional skills to be able to listen to these people and help them get the right support to process their trauma. It also made me realise that as a business, we were not considering the psychosocial risks in the nature of the work we did and the impact that that was having on the people that I worked with. I've struggled with my own mental health at various points during my career, And I began to realise that as an employer, the organisation I was working with needed to do better to support their people. And what I did was we changed the way that we were talking about mental health. We used to discuss it in the dark and in whispered conversations, and it started to become part of our regular, normal conversations. And that really enforced that we'd gone in the right direction. And now it's something that I introduce to any business I work with if it's not there already.
Oh, 100%. Well, thank you for being so honest there and sharing that experience with us. It's obviously a very difficult thing to speak about. And of course, for anybody out there who is struggling with suicidal thoughts, just know that you're not alone. We'll put some numbers in the show notes for you to reach out and to speak to somebody.
If I can just add, if you are having suicidal thoughts, I promise you, it does get better. You may not think about it. You may not think it at the time, but it really, really does get better. And the world is a hell of a lot of better place with you in it than it is without you.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more, Kelly. Thank you for that. Okay, well, thank you for being so honest. Really appreciate that. There is a world of help out there. And as Kelly said, you are absolutely not alone. And the world will not be better off without you. So just take a breath. So let's move on slightly. So drawing from your extensive work with various organisations and industry sectors, so what are some of the most effective strategies you've seen implemented to promote mental health and wellbeing in the workplace? And how do these strategies differ across industries and cultures?
Some of the most effective strategies I've seen have actually started off in a really simple way. Starting really small with the idea of just introducing that checking in and that kind of asking twice. I found that has promoted huge shifts in the way that people are comfortable in talking about their mental health. I've seen companies send out packages on World Mental Health Day so that all of their teams, no matter where they are in the world, have some biscuits, have some tea and some coffee and some kind of mental health conversation prompts that allow the teams to do it in their own time together and really start to build that team trust. I've also seen, particularly if we look at construction, their biggest mental health risk is also sadly generally suicide. Yeah. And I've seen construction companies really focus in just on that and suicide prevention. And they've spent time and effort in starting to change the culture, particularly for those male-dominated environments, in allowing men to start to talk about how they're actually doing and what struggles they're having. So a lot of the time, it's the really small things that can make a huge, huge impact.
Definitely. Really interesting. But this highlights the importance of adaptability in addressing mental health in the workplace. And there's never, ever a one-size-fits-all solution. But definitely a need for tailored approaches that respect the variation across different workplace environments, like the construction industry, as you mentioned, which is quite a male-dominated environment, who will require different approaches to addressing their mental health. But of course, nothing's ever plain sailing and totally easy. So let's discuss some challenges and solutions that you might have. Looking ahead to the future, what do you see as the emerging challenges in promoting workplace mental health? And moreover, how can organisations proactively tackle these challenges?
So I think one of the biggest challenges that is coming is probably our fabulously open Gen Zers that are starting to enter the world of work.
Yes.
They are so much more open about their mental health.
Absolutely.
What mental issues or illnesses they've got.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of organisations are actually really unsure on how to support them in the best way. And as younger people are joining the workforce, especially those whose informative years were so impacted by those COVID lockdowns, the support that they need in order to become the best versions of themselves and the best versions of themselves at work, it might actually increase. Businesses probably will have more responsibility to ensure that those younger people joining the workforce are practicing their resilience, are looking after their mental health in a much better way than perhaps they have done with previous generations. Conversely, we're also seeing an aging workforce, which is a huge problem across the world. And that's potentially going to have an increase in mental health and well-being needs for those aging populations as well. So I think one of the solutions is, I think you've touched on it already, is recognizing that not one size fits all. Doing what is really relevant and needed for your business. You know, I've seen businesses do fantastic support, peer support groups for things like people who are going through menopause, so successful that actually they ended up running two peer support groups, one for people going through menopause and one for people living with or supporting people going through menopause. And that's something that kind of grew organically with the needs of what that business required and what the people were asking for, which probably kind of nudges into your next question, I think.
It certainly does. Okay, well, I'll ask it quickly so we can flow nicely into that. So for companies who are eager to prioritise their employees' mental health and well-being, what universal advice would you share, considering the varying scales and sectors they operate in?
I think fundamentally it comes down to two words, and it's people first. You introduce your mental health and well-being support with your people. Include your HR and OHS teams. There's significant overlap in what we do. There is no one size fits all. You've said that already. Mm. What works for one organisation won't always be what's needed for another. I think another piece of advice is include psychosocial risks as part of your general risk management. Have it discussed at board level. Have it reported as part of your absences and start to recognise what is going on for the people in your business. Mm. Also, I think the final piece of advice I've got is to be prepared to try things and make mistakes. Trial things and get that feedback from your people. And if it doesn't work, see what else they need and see what else you can try. But by making sure your people are part of that conversation, you'll get a hell of a lot more buy-in and much more support as well.
Wonderful. So some final words there. People first is what leaders absolutely need to remember going forwards in 2024 in order to prioritise your employee wellbeing and employee mental health. So thank you so much, Kelly. That has been wonderful to speak with you today. Some really great advice and insights there. It's been lovely to have you on.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. If you have any comments on the podcast or you'd like to suggest a topical speaker or provide other feedback, you can contact us using the email editor@workplacewellbeing.pro. We look forward to hearing from you. My second guest speaker today is Peter Grimbergs, who is a physiotherapist and the chief medical officer and co-founder at MSK health tech company Equal. Pete has years of experience of working closely with employers, health insurers and the NHS to develop and implement solutions that widen access to musculoskeletal care and improve workforce health. Good morning, Pete. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Good morning. Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great, thank you. Thank you for coming. So can't wait to pick your brain this morning about musculoskeletal health in the workplace. This is such an important topic and so useful to get clued up on, regardless of whether you're a person who works on their feet all day and is very active, or whether you're desk-based and looking at your screen. Our physical health is so important, and it's great to talk about how we can better protect it. So let's jump right in. Peter, your work at Equal is at the forefront of integrating health tech into everyday health management. So reflecting on the advancements in musculoskeletal care, could you share some of the groundbreaking approaches or technologies you've encountered? And I'm interested in understanding how these innovations have not only reshaped care delivery in workplaces, but also, more importantly, how they've improved employee health outcomes.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a topic that's obviously very close to my heart. At Equal, we're heavily involved in this space, obviously. We have a product called Theo. And what you get with Theo is a provision of what are effectively self-service tools that can give employees, you know, rapid on-demand access to the best source of MSK care and recovery support that's really tailored to them. And I think that's something which is really important. With Theo, what we're seeing is this rapid time to value with employees, you know, really being able to take action when they have a problem, and that's key. But also then being able to get immediate access to care, and importantly, being able to report, you know, improvements within a matter of days. And again, that's something which is obviously really valuable for an employee and an employer. You know, it'd be remiss of me not to shout out some other people that are in this space. You know, there are companies such as Virtue Health. They're also offering solutions that can help employees set their workstation up, for example. So again, particularly when you're working from home, this is something that can be really useful, not only for the employee, but for the overall employee health within the organisation.
It's fantastic to hear about some of these developments and improvements that they have or are continuing to make to people's lives, especially in light of World Health Day. So nice to put a spotlight on what people are doing to help others. So moving on, let's talk about early intervention.
Yeah.
Your particular experience spans across collaborations with employers, health insurance, and even the NHS to foster better musculoskeletal health. So from this vast experience, how would you underscore the importance of early intervention in managing musculoskeletal issues among employees? And could you elaborate on the strategies that have emerged as game changers in making early intervention not just a concept, but a practical reality?
Yeah, for sure. Look, it's absolutely vital. Early treatment is just essential, is critical, in fact, when it comes to preventing injuries from becoming more severe, from becoming more costly, and ultimately from becoming more complicated to treat. We know that in treating MSK issues, we can also address a whole host of other underlying health issues. You know, we call these comorbidities, and they really do play a massive part in the overall population health. Now, with regards to strategies, actually, it should be quite straightforward if we're going to be able to kind of roll these things out at scale. What it fundamentally revolves around is two points, really. One is about educating people with regards to the importance of seeking, you know, treatment early. But the other one is just about being able to provide affordable and convenient ways for people to be able to access that treatment. And I think when you implement these strategies properly, you can really have a big impact on removing the worry about an employee's health and just enabling them to get back to their normal routine as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you. And clearly, as you've mentioned, early intervention is so key, and preventative measures are far more favourable than simply like reacting when the damage has already been done, so to speak.
Sure. Mm. Yeah.
So as you touched on very briefly there, this is something that can be addressed via wellness programs. So my next question is, for businesses out there who haven't already, how can organizations seamlessly integrate musculoskeletal health into their existing wellness programs? So I'm quite curious about the key elements that, in your experience, are essential for a holistic approach to employee health.
Yeah, again, another great point. Like, what is wellness and how do we get people to understand it? It's really important, obviously. I think the big thing, and I wouldn't just say this because I'm a physio and MSK is important to me, but I honestly, genuinely think MSK Health is a really good gateway, a really good backbone when it comes to, you know, the underpinning of an employee wellness initiative. And the reason for that is because conceptually, it's actually quite easy to understand. Like, most people can relate to having had a muscle or joint problem, and so people can very quickly understand, you know, okay, this is what it's all about, and it's a good thing to kind of pin everything else onto, so to speak. It's beneficial in other senses because, you know, effectively MSK issues are actually really easy to remedy. I mean, essentially you move a bit more and you look out for the signs of injury or dysfunction, and actually you can resolve things quite quickly. But also we know that when you address these physical health issues, there are just a whole heap of parallel health benefits, such as improved mood, reduced anxiety, you know, better sleep, less risk of cardiovascular disease, etc. So again, what you get in effect from addressing the underlying MSK issues or by having a good MSK provision is actually a real broad level of holistic benefit.
Yeah, and so often you will speak to people who will have back or neck problems from working at their laptop all day, especially yeah. desk space. You hear it all the time. It's so common. So important for people to address that. And I've heard of people getting like something you can put your feet on when they're working from home too, which supports your back.
Have you? Yeah, exactly.
Stuff like that. So many things that employers can do. So Of course, implementing these programs is not without its challenges. So from your work, what are some common hurdles employers face when addressing MSK health within their workforce? I'd also love to hear about any success stories you might have or examples where innovative strategies have effectively overcome these challenges. Follow us on Twitter at WorkWellPro or join us on LinkedIn and Facebook.
Yeah, for sure. I think positioning the solution well and making sure that the relevant channels are used to really make people aware of what they can access and how they can help themselves fundamentally. I mean, that's really important. But as you say, like, there's a whole heap of just logistical challenges that need to be addressed. I mean, increasingly people are working from home. That can be great because you can have a bit more flexibility about getting up and moving around. You can incorporate your gym sessions into your day maybe a bit easier. But actually, it can also cause problems because, you know, to what extent can you control the environment that someone's working in? And that can be difficult. Mm-hmm. We know that conventional access to care is difficult at the moment. You know, there are massive waiting lists on the NHS. There's real issues with shortages of qualified staff, and that can be a problem. The other thing that happens is employees tend to underreport MSK injury, or they're just reluctant to seek support until it's like really bad, and then that obviously presents issues. And I think what follows from that is just the need to make sure that, you know, the workforce is aware of the importance of caring for themselves, how they prevent injuries, and importantly how they motivate themselves to take action. Now at Equal, what we're doing to overcome this is really by working really closely with our corporate partners to provide, you know, content that can be helpful for those who are not injured, as also providing solutions for those that are injured. And that's really key. And examples of that would include, you know, for example, we can go into an organization, we create a whole host of kind of short video pieces, for example, that will show people how to loosen their back when they've been sitting all day, you know, down to how to set up your day to ensure you incorporate some of the quick wins. You just mentioned the really quick win, but there are loads of others, like taking meetings on the move, or just breaking up your day with short bursts of activity. These are all things that can just add to that overall kind of elevation of health generally. So those are some of the strategies that we deploy.
Yeah, fantastic. Just simply showing employees some videos about how to sit. Perhaps do they have certain stretches that you can do to kind of ease neck pain or back pain, that kind of thing?
Exactly. There's a million things, you know, like, and we try to not overcomplicate it. You know, here's a minute's worth of stuff, like go do a minute's worth of movement. And actually, if you do that every 20 minutes, that adds up and that can have a massive kind of compounding effect. So, yeah, just little hacks, things that are easy to understand, easy to consume. That's the key, really.
Interesting, and so important to start doing that kind of thing now before, as you say, it builds up and up and up and the problem gets really severe and you can't kind of go back from it. So it's good to keep the workforce informed about that kind of stuff. Really interesting. Thank you for that. So I just have one final question before we wrap up today. Obviously, workplaces are still navigating the post-pandemic world, and the nature of our workplaces has transformed perhaps irreversibly, well, most likely irreversibly. So with a significant shift towards remote or hybrid work environments, how do you see the approach to physical and more specifically musculoskeletal health evolving? Are there any new trends or changes you anticipate will become more prominent in how we manage employee health in these changing work settings?
Yeah, again, really, really interesting points. And COVID and things have really shone a spotlight on this. I think one thing that is definitely true is that people are, you know, they're massively more tuned into this right now, and that is a great thing. It's a really helpful, you know, kind of starting position. People are much more health conscious, but then also I think coupled with that, there's a genuine struggle to get help via the conventional routes, such as, you know, the NHS routes, for example.
Yeah.
And I think with regards to trends, you know, we're definitely seeing an increased adoption of digital technologies, but I think more so what we're seeing are those, you know, companies, businesses, solutions that can offer this end-to-end care. So, for example, on-demand access to MSK healthcare, from assessment to advice to guidance to inpatient physiotherapy, being able to incorporate all of those, you know, necessary kind of potential options. But also, I think because of the increased adoption, it can be a bit of a minefield because there's just the sheer volume of digital offerings that are out there. And I think in terms of trends, what we're going to see more and more is just this ability to really tailor support to the individual, to the industry, to the role. You know, the most impactful MSK health support is really not a one-size-fits-all process. It depends on the daily routines or the responsibilities of an employee, the risks and the needs. These will all be completely unique. And I think it's really key for employers to acknowledge this when they're designing their programs in order to make it the most kind of holistic, well-rounded offering for their employees.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all so different, and organisations absolutely need to tune into that and do what's best for their individuals in their workforce.
For sure.
Pete, you've been amazing, so informative. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're very welcome. It's been great chatting. And yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Mind Body Work podcast is brought to you by workplacewellbeing.pro. a website dedicated to the well-being and health of working professionals. Daily news items are posted, accompanied by in-depth analysis of topics including financial well-being, mental health, and stress. You can sign up for our weekly newsletters to keep up to date with our content. Thank you for listening.